He laid awake in the darkness. His mind so full of memories, they became a jumbled mess. Even though it had been years, he could still see the scene in his mind. Sunlight had dappled the road, pushing itself between the overhanging trees. As the boy had reached the end of the lane in the distance, he had turned and waved, and then smiled. He hadn't tried to stop him. It would have been of no use. The boy had taken everything he owned, absolutely sure that he could make it by himself. The man closed his eyes, laying there on the bed. Tears leaked out of the edges of his eyes, ran down his cheeks, the pillow wet from the sobbing. He finally turned, trying to shake the thoughts, but it was no use. His heart ached. It had every day since his son left home. He had no idea where he was, and he had been gone so long he didn't know if he was dead or alive because there had been no communication of any kind. He wrestled with the thoughts. Dead or alive, he couldn't take it. No, he said, the boy is lost. The realization of that seemed to shout inside his mind. He leaped from the bed and headed for the door, flung it open, and ran into the yard. Moonlight lit the scene. He squinted, his eyes straining in the darkness. He looked down that same road, peering into the depths, but there was no one. He stood there for the longest time. Finally, his eyes closed and tears began to run down his cheeks again. And he bowed his head, his shoulders sagged, and slowly he turned and went back inside. It was a snort that woke him. The breath in his face made him gag. He opened his eyes, and the face he beheld, not even a mother could love. He shoved the rooting pig out of the way, sat up and looked down at his bare feet, what he could see of them, covered in the muck. He hadn't bathed in weeks. His hair was a matted mess. His stomach rumbled. He was starving. The pigs were eating, but he had nothing to eat. He rolled onto all fours and raised himself out of the mire. Struggled to his feet, and he stumbled to the trough. Plunged his head into the dampness and the cold of the water and washed the muck from his face and hair. Paused for a moment, gazing into that little bit of water as the ripples stilled, and it became a mirror in front of him. Blue sky and clouds moving overhead. But then he focused on his own reflection, and what he saw stunned him. Suddenly reality flashed within him, seized him actually, and it shook him to his core. He had made such great plans, but everything he had tried had failed. He had left home to live life to the fullest, to break away from all the restrictions that had been placed upon him. He had taken all that was his. Money was no object. He was young and invincible. He was good looking and everybody wanted to be with him. He had traveled the world. He was far, far from home. He had been the life of the party. There was wine, women, and song. And he had spent it all. And then famine came. Food was scarce across the land. All of his money was gone. All of his friends had left him, and his world had turned upside down. He hadn't counted the cost. He'd gone bankrupt. And now he was desperate. He was miserable. And he was all alone. He had only the clothes on his back, but not even shoes on his feet. To top it off, he was miserably hungry. And he was slopping pigs. It made him grimace to think about it. They had more food than he did, and they didn't want to share. He was thousands of miles from home, in a foreign land, and nobody cared if he lived or died. He stared into the water for a little bit longer, and then he thought of his father, and tears filled his eyes. His dad cared. He always had. Suddenly the word that he had searched for all morning in his mind to define where he was came to him. Unworthy. Unworthy. He bowed his head and he wept. Stand with me for the reading of God's word. And Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And as he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything, but when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this young brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're grateful this morning for your mercy. We stand amazed by your unfailing love. We thank you, Lord, for your word, inerrant, infallible, uncompromising, that is before us. We ask you, Lord, to clear our minds of all the things of this week. Help us to put everything out that would try to enter in and distract us from what you have to say this morning. Help us to focus our thoughts on you. Lord, I ask for your anointing as I speak. I ask that you would take a coal from off your altar and touch my lips. Purify me, Lord. Cleanse me. That the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, Lord. For you are our strength and our Redeemer, and without you, we are absolutely nothing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Lost. Lost. How many of your parents ever had your little one go missing for just a moment? In a store, in a backyard, on a playground? Remember the panic? Last fall, I was at a family's house that goes to this church. We had been invited over for Sunday brunch or Sunday dinner. We were all sitting around the tables talking, having a good time, and all of a sudden, there was a little one missing. And the whole situation changed in an instant. Grandmas, grandpas, moms, dads, aunts, uncles, friends, everybody there was out the door and searching. Calling. Running. Everyone was intent on finding that little girl. She had only been gone seconds, but nobody really knew when she had gone missing, so they didn't know how long it had been or how far she had gone. We raced in every direction, and then they found her. Relief flooded every heart there. Tears of joy were shed. The lost had been found. Ever had a family member arrive at your front door that you hadn't seen in a long time? Just out of the blue? And you open the door, and the moment you see them, you don't even realize they've actually been gone. For just that moment, it's like, oh, hi. Oh, it's you! When Renee and I were first married, our oldest daughter was at college. My oldest boy was working all the time, gone. We missed them a lot. Wondered when they would get home. One night, I was sitting in the living room. She was sitting across from me, and we were talking about it. And there was a knock at the door. It was late. It was almost 11 o'clock. It was Christmas Eve. I went to the door and opened it, and there they both stood. Smiles on their faces, giggling because they had surprised us. I'll never forget it. It was a wonderful thing. For years, that father had watched that road. At any given moment, if you were watching him, you would see him turn and look. A little cloud of dust on that road, and he would stop what he was doing and look. He was consumed with watching, hoping, longing for his son's return. In the passage it says, while he was yet afar off, his father saw him. He was looking into the distance. What an amazing thought and feeling that had to be when he saw him. The emotions that had to run through him. He thought he was dead. And then there he was. He had hoped against hope for years that he would come home. And then suddenly, there he was. For the son, there must have been great trepidation. He'd been gone for years. And as he rounded that bend where he could see home, the closer he got, the more he must have wondered if he was doing the right thing. He had no idea how he would be received. He had squandered everything. He was a wreck. He was homeless. He was worthless. He was devastated, and he was destitute. He had lost his inheritance, but he had lost so much more. He had lost his virtue. He had lost his reputation. He had lost his own self-worth. He had nothing left. There in the distance, spread out before him, was the home place. The barns, the horses, the cattle. He could see men working in the field. His heart was pounding. And then he sees his dad running towards him. The passage says, he ran to meet him, he embraced him, and he kissed him. The Greek is much more direct. He smothered him with kisses. And he had run. Jewish men never ran. They wear robes. It is inappropriate for them to break stride. What Jesus says that father did that day went against everything he knew to be right and proper. What it shows is absolute abandon to get to where his son is, to close the gap as quickly as he can, because his son had been lost and now he had come home. He hugs him. He embraces him. He smothers him with kisses. And the boy, "But Dad, I've lost everything. I don't have anything left. I've sinned against you. I don't deserve your love. But if you can find it within yourself, just let me live with the hired help. Let me stay with the servants. I'll work for my food. I promise I won't complain. I'm not worthy to be called your son." Verse 22, "But the father said, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found." Talk about a celebration. This is probably the most familiar parable in all of Scripture. Anybody you talk to just about knows about it. Probably in the heading of your Bible it says the parable of the prodigal son. But I have to tell you, it's not just about the son. Jesus begins this story with a phrase. There was a man who had two sons. For the last year, we studied the parables and the metaphors. This is one of the most famous. And what we discovered in these Wednesday night services is this. Jesus always gives parables in a group. He always has a purpose for what he said. And it's almost always in direct response for something that has happened or a comment that has been made. And he takes something close and recognizable to address the issue at hand. This parable is no different. There was a purpose for this story. Jesus had just told the parable of the lost sheep, the 99 who were left in the fold while the shepherd went out and searched for the one that was lost. And then he had shared the parable of the lost coin and the woman who turned her house upside down, trying to find the piece that was of value that had been lost. And the purpose of him giving this final parable is found in the opening verses of the chapter. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled among themselves, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" That's the reason for the parable. That's the reason for the comparison. It was a response to the comment How could he receive sinners and eat with them? And Jesus says, there was a man with two sons. The son had been given everything that was his, and he had squandered it all. Turned his back on all that he'd been taught and walked away. Lived with pigs. It was detestable to Jews to be around pigs. They were forbidden by Levitical law. They could not even touch the carcass of a dead pig, let alone consume its flesh. And he was feeding them. It was his job to take care of them. He had hired himself out as an indentured servant so that he just had enough food to eat, and it wasn't enough. Now he's homeless. He doesn't have any shelter. Nowhere to go. He's lost. Emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and up until he decided to go home physically. Lost in a life that had completely destroyed him. But Jesus said the son comes to his senses. In a flash of understanding, he realizes the situation that he is in, and he says, I will arise and go to my father. And he gets up and he heads home. Prodigal. You know what the definition is of prodigal? Recklessly extravagant. Characterized by uncontrolled expenditure, giving excessively, luxuriant in its abundance. What did the father do? He ran to him. He hugged him. He smothered him with kisses. He took a robe, put it around him, put a ring on his finger, put shoes on his feet, killed the fatted calf, and threw a party. Who was the prodigal? Excessive? Absolutely. Required? Not at all. Important to do? Yes, sir. Why? Because the one who had been lost had been found. The Pharisees heard this story and they were enraged. This boy had been sleeping with pigs. He was clothed in rags. He was unclean and needed to be purified. He was unwashed, unkept, and he had no shoes, and his clothes were rags. Laws had been broken, sin had been committed, and judgment was required. And what does his father do? Jesus said the son asked for forgiveness. It wasn't a request that was ignored. Dad just goes right on by. You know why? The change in that young man's heart had started way back when he got out of the mire and headed home, but forgiveness took place when his daddy wrapped his arms around him. It was done. He wrapped his arms around him. He wept on his neck. He smothered him with kisses, and it was over. Forgiven in an instant. He had heard the son's words. He had heard the confession of sin. But he was already moving on. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring the best robe, put the ring on his hand and the shoes on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. We should rename the parable. It's the story of the prodigal father. It's a whole new twist. It's absolutely true. The sons are secondary players. Jesus' whole goal in telling this parable was to make this contrast about the father. He was, for a moment, in the midst of what he was responding to with the Pharisees, opening a window for us to see what his father is really like. Thrilled beyond measure. Because someone who had wandered so far away, who had destroyed themselves, determined to come back. And what is recorded is the wonder of a father's full giving to the one who has returned. It's the picture of an old man running down a lane with his robe hiked up, with his toes curled into his sandals as he runs at breakneck speed so they won't fly off into the ditch. He's leaving a trail of dust behind him, and he scoops him up, wraps his arms around him, weeps on his shoulder, clutches him to his chest, and forgives him in an instant. It's not my story. This is Jesus' story. He's the one that is telling these people who this man is. Jesus' story about God the Father, the ultimate prodigal. A father so consumed with longing for the return of the one that is lost that he would spare no expense to welcome them home. Jesus stood there telling this story while the Pharisees grumbled and complained that he would sit with tax collectors, with sinners, with those that they wouldn't have anything to do with, and then hang out with them and eat with them. And what Jesus did was share what only he could know at that time, the marvel of the absolutely unrestrained compassion of his Father, the complete and utter lavishness of grace. He alone knew just how extravagant his Father's love really was. Love so great, so overwhelming, that he would give his only Son to die in our place. A father's love, given without reservation and without hesitation. It's hard to grasp. God the Father willing to suffer. He suffers when we're separated from him. It causes him agony to know we are missing. He looks into the distance of our future, waiting for us to return. Willing to give of his own self because of his matchless mercy. Full of sorrow in his heart when we squander all that he gives us and begging us to come home. Weeping and watching for us to return, knowing that without him, we're lost. Oh, that we could grasp the magnificence of the story that Jesus told as the Pharisees reviled him. The purpose of his sharing so much more than what first met the eye. He spoke in parables in front of them so that they would not understand. But those parables were for us and for the disciples. He explained them to the disciples. When we decipher them because of how they're laid out in the Scripture, it becomes clear to us that there's so much more. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. Relationship is what matters most to the Father. He waits for us to come home so he can wrap us in his arms, pull us close, and hug us because he longs for us to be with him. Let's bow our heads.